keeping you country company. Dakota Country, KOKK Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. High school football is completely up and running now, with all seven classes playing last night for 11 AAA, AA, and Single-A. It was the season opener that included the Huron Tigers. Tigers were at home as they hosted Yankton at Tiger Stadium. Yankton pulled away, scoring the final three touchdowns of the game as they defeat the Huron Tigers 41-24. Huron kicked a field goal at the beginning of the second half to take a three-point lead, 24-21. But then Yankton got the offense going, hit on a big pass, had a time-consuming drive at the end of the game, and picked up the 17-point win, 20 unanswered to end the game. For Huron, Anderson Porish scored on touchdown runs of 2 and 3 yards. Landon Hulst had an exciting play, a 65-yard pick six to end the first half. That actually tied the score, as Huron scored twice in the last 20 seconds of the first half to tie the score. Mr. Min added a 29-yard field goal. Oakley Anderson picked up where he left off last year, led the Tigers in tackling last year, had 16 tackles, 4 assisted tackles last night defensively for the Tigers. Tigers dropped to 0-1. They're back at home again next week hosting Pierre. Also had a game on the air on KOKK and also at Tiger Stadium. Woolsey Westington hosted Dubrook. Woolsey Westington is playing their home games at Tiger Stadium this season as they're renovating their complex in Woolsey. Dubrook pulled away in the second half to defeat Woolsey Westington 42-8. Woolsey Westington scored right at the end of the first half to pull within a touchdown before Dubrook took control in the second half. For the Dolphins, Ty Landmark had 4 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 1 passing. Blake Hansen had 3 touchdown passes. Woolsey Westington scored on a 17-yard pass from Caleb Richmond to a Jet Kleinsaucer. The Warbirds dropped to 0-2 on the season. Other area scores last night: Oldham Ramona Rutland defeated Sunshine Bible 46-8. Garrettson outscored DeSmith 35-24. Miller Highmore Herald nipped Hot Springs 13-10. Double A and Triple A scores: T Area 22, Spearfish 14, Sturgis 26, Brookings 21. Mitchell shut out Douglas 57-0. And a Pier upended Aberdeen 9-6. Triple A scores, well, Double A and Triple A here: Jefferson 51, Watertown 7. Lincoln defeated Stevens 62-14. O'Gorman rallied and defeated Harrisburg 25-24. Brandon Valley 28, Sioux Falls, Washington 7. Rapid City Central defeated Roosevelt 23-7. Soccer yesterday: James Valley Christian boys stay undefeated as they defeated Belle Fouche 5-1. Vikings had 5 different players getting their goals. Isaac Fast had the first one. Noah Fast scored on an assist by Colby Vanderwerf. Skyler Thirlbar got an assist from Vanderwerf. Gavin Waldner, the fourth goal, assisted by Carson Doris. And Keegan Hood had the final goal, assisted by Noah Fast. In goal, Jonah Niederbomber had 25 saves. Had a handful of double-A volleyball last night as well. Mitchell defeated Sturgis in 4 sets, 22-25, 25-16, 25-14, 25-16. Aberdeen went the full 5 to defeat Rapid City Central, 25-11, 19-25, 25-23, 22-25, 15-10. And Rapid City Stevens defeated Pier straight sets, 25-12, 10, and 13. We check the schedule for today. Huron Tiger Volleyball hosting their annual invitational. 2 courts at the arena, 1 court at the middle school gym. Play begins at 9 o'clock this morning. There's a total of 12 teams, and everybody gets 4 matches in the tournament. Huron opens play at 9 o'clock this morning. All 4 of their matches will be in the arena. They play Douglas right away at 9 o'clock this morning. Later, they get 2-time defending Class B champion Chester, Sioux Falls Lincoln, then wrap up the day against Spearfish. And again, it goes on a rolling schedule starting at 9 and 10 o'clock. And as I said, a lot of volleyball. Everything's best 2 out of 3, but everybody gets 4 matches and gets a chance to kind of look and see where they're at in this young season. Also on the schedule for today, Huron Tigers are at the Brookings Invite. They have duels with Yankton and Aberdeen today. Huron Cheer and Dance opens their season. They're at the Aberdeen Invitational today. One Area High School football game has Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. Long road trip. They are out to lead Deadwood today. And the annual Andes Road Race is this morning at Memorial Park. That's the quick rundown of our local schedule for today. Minnesota Twins opened up a series interleague play with the San Diego Padres last night at Target Field. And the Twins won a game of baseball. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Friday night at Target Field, Twins kicking off a 7-game homestand hosting the San Diego Padres, just 2 back in the National League West and potentially playoff bound. Padres took a 1-0 lead in the third on a sack fly by our old friend Luis Arraez. But Cody Clemens and Trevor Larnach singled left on left. And eventually Clemens scored on a Byron Buxton fielder's choice as he legged out a potential double play. And it was 1-1 after 3. It would all change in the fourth. Matt Wallner with a base hit, a walk to Austin Martin, into the bullpen for lefty Wandy Peralta. Royce Lewis promptly singled to load the bases. Cody Clemens hit a perfect double play ball for Jake Cronenworth, and he booted it, and the Minnesota Twins grabbed a couple of runs. Moments later, with Trevor Larnach at the plate, they grabbed a couple more.
Ground ball up the middle, that's going to be a base hit. Lewis scores. Here comes Clemens, he's going to score. Twins are going to lead 5-2.
Two more in the fifth, including a Royce Lewis home run and the third hit off a third different left-hander for left-handed batting Trevor Larnach in the ballgame, and the Twins built themselves a nice little 7-2 lead. But a 2-run seventh inning for the Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr. knocking in a pair, and it was 7-4 heading into the eighth. Cole Sands, a 1-2-3 inning, then Cody Funderburk in the ninth. Walk, ground ball out, walk, strikeout. The tying run at the plate was Fernando Tatis Jr. He flied out to right. First save of the year, second of the career for Funderburk. And the Twins hold on for a 7-4 victory over the Padres on your home for Twins baseball.
Twins and Padres continue the series with an evening game tonight. Get another look at one of the trade acquisitions from a month ago. Taj Bradley will get his second start for the Twins. Pre-game is at 5:30. First pitch, 6:10 here on KOKK. We have a very full Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up this morning. We'll talk with Huron Tiger soccer coaches Leah Branagh, Teresa Peterson. We'll visit with Josh Lean, head volleyball coach. Huron Tigers hosting that big invite today. We'll get our monthly update from Joey Mitchell in the Nordby Center for Recreation. And, of course, visit with Drew Strand, head football coach of the Huron Tigers, on last night's tough loss to Yankton to open the season. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up this morning, Dakota Sports Saturday, we talked with Joey Mitchell, Executive Director of the Nordby Center for Recreation. Our update here for the month of September, and kind of a switch of the seasons, Joey. There's a lot of new things, a lot of registrations. You just have a long list of things that are starting up here anytime from the next day or two to the next couple of weeks to by the end of the month and into October. But there's a lot of new things on the schedule here.
Again, yeah, you nailed it there, Jeff. There's a lot going on. August is kind of a regrouping period, scheduling period, and we get everything fine-tuned up for the, you know, this fall and winter. So, you know, we have karate on the list, and that's scheduled to start September 29th, and registration will be out next week for that. And again, karate is ages 6 up on up, so 6 through adult, and different levels. There's beginners, advanced, there's beginners adult, advanced adult. You know, if they talk to the karate instructors, they'll take care of you on the aspects of where you need to be in class rankings and all that. But again, it's something offered for a 6-year-old kid all the way up to, we have some adults that are, you know, in their 50s and 60s that still do these karate sessions. And it's fitness, but also they can go on past this, and there's competitions to do. Some of these kids excel in those as well. Next on the list, I guess, we have swimming lessons. Those are scheduled to start September 27th. Again, registration will be out in about a week. So not just next week, but the week following that. And it's typically opened on a Monday and about 5:30 in the morning. And it's pretty crazy how fast those spots will fill up for swimming lessons. But lessons do run on Saturday mornings, 8 to 11:30 in the morning. And then they, again, it's Saturdays, and it's for 6 Saturdays. And we'll have lessons in the fall, and then we will have another session of lessons coming up this winter before Christmas break.
And just overall, you know, there's something going on for everybody. I think you said, I know you have some volleyball coming up, maybe some basketball as well. So there's just a whole lot of different things, and it kind of goes by what the season is currently in the schools.
You're exactly right. I remember myself when playing sports growing up as a kid, you go watch the event down at the arena, you know, such as volleyball, as you mentioned, and as a little kid, you want to play, you know, so no better time than to kind of follow suit with the season of the school, and because of the followers and being younger kids and things like that. But yes, we are looking at finalizing the dates on our volleyball. We're going to have a little camp where it's going to be skills on a Monday, and then we're going to come back and play on the Sunday. So I think it lines out, it's going to be 6 Mondays and 4 Sundays. They'll work on skills on Monday, and then again it'll just be open volleyball playing on Sundays. The details are still being finalized for that, but it'll be happening here in September, and it'll run into October. And then kind of following suit of the school season, when that finishes up and we're into October, we're going to have our annual, or I guess our every year basketball camps we do for the pre-K through 8th grade, realistically.
And then also, staying on the subject of basketball, you are looking at doing an early tournament there, I think, the weekend before Thanksgiving, if the interest is there.
Yes, you're exactly right. Last year I did have it, too, so it was my first year doing it, and so I'm putting it back out there again this year. It's November 22nd. And we did have the tournament last year, so if you're a local team and you're on the fence, go ahead and just get kids together and, you know, get signed up. And it's an early bird tournament for a reason, just to kind of get out there and get some playing done and be able to go back to practice and know what you got to work on.
And just to kind of wrap things up here, as I said, it's a changing of the season, and everybody just gets a little bit different mindset. Obviously, your usual things, the regular workouts, the pickleball, all that still ongoing as well. But again, just might change a schedule a little bit, or just see some other people come in, especially once it starts to get colder.
Yes, you're exactly right. We still have our 20 plus classes going on weekly, you know. With great attendance in our water classes, great attendance classes on land. Our spin class attendance has picked back up, you know, with double digits, 10, 12 people showing up. All that's still happening. You know, we open at 5 o'clock in the morning and close at 9 Monday through Thursday, and then open 8 to 3 on the weekends currently. But, again, that'll change when the fall and the weather changes here. We'll be open longer on the weekends, and so it just gives people a little more time to get a workout in, and or even just play pickleball. As you mentioned, we have basketball hoops, volleyball, pickleball, tennis, racquetball. There's truly something for everyone.
Joey Mitchell, Executive Director for the Nordby Center for Recreation. Lots of new things starting up here now as we get into September. For more information, you can give them a call or check out their Facebook page or their website, nordbycenter.org. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning, back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We now highlight Huron Tiger girls soccer with their head coach, Teresa Peterson. The girls come in with a record of 0-4, have a nice week off here after four matches to start the season. And oh, so close this past Tuesday, a 2-1 loss at home to a Garrettson. And coaches kind of go to that one. You know, the girls have been kind of waiting for that one, you know, the one where, you know, everything's there for them. And boy, just so close this time.
It really was. It was a close game. They had a lot of really good opportunities, and our offense was creating those opportunities. So it was really good to see that working this year. And we did manage to get a goal, and that was a huge, huge plus for us.
And, you know, the goals, that's the thing. You just talked to the boys coach, Leah Brenna, as well. And scoring is probably kind of the main thing that both the boys and girls have been working on now.
Yes, that has been our goal for a while now, and we've managed, the girls have managed to do it twice already this season. We scored in Rapid City as well. So we are off to a good start as far as that, and we're just going to continue to try to build those offensive opportunities this year.
Well, let's just talk about the overall thing now. Numbers, how many girls you got out total for soccer?
We have 42 girls total. We have 21 on the varsity and 21 on the JV team.
And so, obviously, numbers aren't an issue here. There's high interest.
Yes, and it's good to see those middle schoolers coming out in that younger age and being able to grow them sooner into the program is a really good thing for Huron, I think.
Well, you mentioned the varsity bunch does have 21 on the roster. Just talk a little about some of the girls there, some of the key players for you.
We have, starting with Allison Trujillo Cadorva, she scored our two goals so far this year and has been a great leader on the wing. We have Yoselin Yane. She has been our staple in the back. She's a senior this year, and she has been a great leader in the defense. A.K. Lupa is also a senior. She is our forward. She is our heartbeat of this team, really pushing everybody to grow and be better all the time.
And, you know, let's just look at where you're at now. You know, the improvement can come just in small increments. Have you seen any special improvements from last year to this year? Are girls working on their game in the off season?
Yes, I've actually noticed this year we have a lot of returners, which is really, really good. And almost all of them have improved in some way, starting with that first practice. And that is wonderful to see. Allison especially has boosted from last year, and Sarah Waugh in defense has really been very good for us, very solid, and she has improved from last year.
And then one other thing I noticed too was you sent me the results. You are playing two goalies again. I think you've done that the last couple of years or since you took over. One goalie first half, one goalie second half. Is just you just got a couple of girls that are just pretty much the same, about at the same caliber?
Yes, and we have been dealing with some injuries as well in that area, so we've been moving around some girls and making sure that we have at least three that can play and getting them some time and seeing where they're at, and I feel that we have a solid three that are very good back there that we can interchange in and out and give them each an opportunity to play that.
So, as I said, you're four matches in, so about a third of the schedule here. I'm sure it's nice to have a week off. You can kind of sit back and look, say, okay, what's been working? What can we be better at? What are some of the improvements you're looking at now? I believe you have three matches next week.
Yes, that's going to be very fast from here on out. And some improvements I would like to see is definitely us having more possession of the ball and giving our defense a break and being able to build those offensive opportunities that we've started with this year and just keep building on that throughout the season.
And then one last thing, too. Again, I go back to the numbers because I was kind of interested to see where you were on that. But with 42 off out, that's a good number. And really, 21 on varsity, 21 varsity, sounds like everybody should get their share of playing time.
Yes, everybody should get some playing time. Everybody gets the rest that they need. And
Bottom line is, you know, you like the numbers in the program, and you know, it's just, you know, just sometimes just going to take that one step. You know, oh so close this past Tuesday with Gerritsen, but you know, it just takes that one step. Maybe the girl, you know, at the end of the day, girls maybe just looking for a little bit of confidence.
Yes, and that is also something we've been working on these last few years, is just building their confidence and that they can go out and they can score and they can potentially win a game.
Teresa Peterson, head coach of the Huron Tiger girls soccer team. They come in with a record of 0-4. It's a week off here, a weekend to enjoy the fair and more. They're back Tuesday against Aberdeen. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we visit with the head coach of the Huron Tiger boys soccer team, Leah Branna. The Tiger boys are 0-4 on the season, fell to Sioux Falls Christian this past Tuesday, 3-0. And Leah, I suppose that match is just kind of like everything you've had so far. You're 0-4, but really what sticks out mostly, one goal scored, and that came in the first match. I think it's safe to say you're struggling offensively right now.
Yeah, we just can't really seem to find the back of the net, unfortunately. We've got some great midfielders and great strikers, but we just really can't seem to get it together, put it all together at one time when we need to, and taking too many touches when we're up by the other team's goal, and then that's allowing their defense to then recover and pressure us, and then we can't get the shot off.
You know, and with that, then it kind of goes hand in hand, puts more pressure on the defense and also on your goalkeeper. I know defensively, I think it sounds like you've been happy with what you've seen.
Yeah, our defense has done a great job. We started the season playing just with three defenders, and we've got three seniors back there, Tewe So, Christopher Daw, and Johnson Min, and they've been starting back on defense for varsity since 10th grade, and so I mean they definitely are leading us. We went our last two games, we went to four defenders and pulled back Juan Aravalo. He's also a senior who's been starting with them in the past, but this year we were trying him on midfield and pulled him back to try to see if we can play more defensively since we're not getting the goals scored. We also had an injury to our goalie, so Cleetu, that was our starting varsity goalie, and we've had our starting JV goalie have to step up and play varsity the last three games, and he's just Jackson Andrew. He's done a phenomenal job, come up with a lot of really good saves.
And talk about the offensive part of it, because as I said, it's been a struggle. But yet, talk about some of those kids. You know the talent's there. Maybe it's just, I don't know if it's mesh or just a little bad luck, maybe a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, when I look at our midfielders, it is all 10th and 9th graders. So, I mean, we are still really young. Mr. Min, he's a 10th grader. He was all-conference last year as a freshman, which is pretty unheard of in soccer, and he definitely leads them, but we just haven't been able to get everything connected. We have Beyonce back. He's a senior striker for us, and he was our leading scorer as an eighth grader. He tore his PCL and meniscus in ninth grade and came back his sophomore year to lead us again in scoring. So we really were hopeful this year that, you know, he'd pick that up because he didn't play last year. And we just haven't been able to get him to find the back of the net, unfortunately.
Well, let's look at the overall view of the program. Numbers have never been an issue as far as I can remember. Back when we first started this, the program up probably 10 years ago or so is when that started. Numbers, I assume, are still very solid.
Yeah. I mean, every year we get more and more guys. I think we had 78 guys try out for the team this year. We just keep 45 on the team and a few managers just because otherwise we can't fit in the bus. And it's, you know, to a JV and a varsity game are not conducive to fitting in 78 players. But yeah, I mean, if we had a middle school program or if soccer was like basketball and volleyball where there's a, you know, a C team or a freshman team, a JV and a varsity, you know, we would definitely be able to develop some of our players sooner. But unfortunately, we don't, the state doesn't offer any of those types of programs to the school. So sometimes when the kids are coming to us, they're lacking in some skills or just at least organized soccer. I mean, a lot of them with our diversity in town, they do get out and play with relatives and things like that, but it's not organized. So we have to teach them, you know, some rules and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, we're happy with the numbers that we have, and I feel it'll continue to grow in that way.
And to look at the other hand, you got some of your other kids, I think it almost seems like they play year-round.
Yes, a lot of them do play year-round. There's a Hispanic league in town. Some play on a Corinne team. The Corinne teams have invited some of the Hispanic guys in to play. The Hispanic leagues invited the Corinne in to play. So, I mean, it's a nice mix there, I think. And we get some winter stuff going, get some touches on the ball at the high school gym. A few of the players have found club teams across the state. So, yeah, they do put in a lot of work and a lot of time, and they work hard no matter what. I mean, the score could be 2-0 with a minute left and they're still trying to score that goal. I mean, they will not give up, and that, as a coach, that's the type of thing that you like to see.
And talking with Leah Brana, head boys soccer coach for the Huron Tigers. They're at 0-4, have a week off here now. Always seems to come over to the state fair too, by the way. Tell us about, you know, leadership, communication. You know, communication especially, that takes a little different meaning with this program.
Yes, we definitely at times struggle to communicate, whether it's me or kid to kid, just because we have so many different languages that are spoken on our team. I would say we're kind of at the point where the Corinne, all of their English is really good. We don't really have to translate anything. We're getting more Hispanic players playing, and that's now where we have to do some translating. But the kids are really good about it. I mean, they step up if a coach needs it and say, hey, I'll translate this, and it's been working out great. Our captains this year, Christopher Da, Mr. Min, and Juan Aravalo, and then I've got a couple of Corinne and a Hispanic captain, so they're able to deliver all the messages that we need and lead the team out there.
Now we look ahead, 0-4, so four matches in. I believe you're a third of the way through the season. Probably nice to get the one-week break here before you have Aberdeen on a Tuesday. Tell us where you're at, where you want to go, and obviously, I guess the first things first, got to get something going on offense.
Yes, we've got three games this week. We have Aberdeen Tuesday, T on Thursday, and Mitchell on Saturday. Yes, we have got to score. We have chances in every game. It's not that the other teams are preventing us from doing that. We are down there putting pressure on them, but we just have to find that confidence to get that goal to score, and hopefully that will happen. We did tie Rapid City Central. We did tie them 0-0. Would have been obviously a game that we thought for sure that we could win, just because they're a little bit down this year and they don't have quite the program players as they have in the past, but hoping this week will be different. We're going to change our formation for the third time and see if that will help us generate some more offense as well.
Leah Branagh, head coach here on Tiger Boys Soccer. 0-4 here, the weekend off. They have Aberdeen coming up on Tuesday. We'll be back on Dakota Sports on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning, back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Josh Lean. Tiger Volleyball is hosting their annual invitational today at the arena and at the middle school. Play starts at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll talk about that, the schedule, and more. Tigers are 1-0 as they open their season Tuesday with a three-set sweep of T area. Never trailed in the first or third sets. Took control of the second set about 10 points in. In fact, Tigers came out and on their first service of the season rattled off 10 consecutive points in that first set. And talking to Coach Lean in the post-match on Tuesday, I bet it's probably been a long time, if ever, you started a season up 10-0 on your first service.
You know, I'm assuming this is one of one right now. First time that's worked out in our favor. But, you know, you kind of line it up where your kind of more aggressive servers start the game, or at least that's how you drop the initial scouting report. And Jency, you know, even based on her serve numbers from last year, does a really nice job of driving a float serve with some tempo to a certain location. And she really was hitting her spot. So, you know, Jency's really, you're going to see some of that this year. There's going to be other teams we're going to play that have maybe a little bit more successful serve receive against us. But Jency's going to drive a lot of serve receive formations crazy this year. Really nice to start out to an early. It makes it easy to sit in my seat when you're up by 10 in the first 10 points.
I'm trying to read there. I think it's 14 aces total, and you said we need to out-ace them. Well, we out-aced them by a bunch there, but, you know, we were just clicking, you know, whether we were in the offense, whether it was serving, everything just seemed to be a goal.
Yeah, it did. So, you know, I think we doubled their aces. They did have a string of them in the second set when we were battling early, where we were really just working on getting that ball to the setter. And so credit them. They came out. They started serving aggressive. They minimized their errors there in the early set two. But I thought our girls did a nice job of keeping their composure, knowing what they're capable of, going back to the basics and doing the little things right. And so not only, you know, did we out-ace them, we really were successful in many other facets of the game. I thought, for the most part, we had really good shots. When I go back and watch the film, I think I'm going to, you know, realize we had more good shots than we didn't. So we fed our middles nicely. Even though I say that out loud, I would like to see Chloe get a few more opportunities from an offense. But what I'm most proud of this team right now is that our intent to block the ball was, in my opinion, higher than our best last year. We really came out with an intent to put the ball back on tee side and force them to keep swinging at us. So I was really proud of our kids for that at the net. This might be the one chance I can say that we're bigger than tee. We're bigger than our opponent. We probably don't get to say that very often. So we use that to our advantage for sure.
One thing I say I was watching, and that was really the five newcomers to the varsity court. Reagan Bischoff, sophomore, did see a little time setting last year. Kaya Cheddar served effectively. Jaylee Olson at 6 foot, getting her first significant varsity time. And at 6 foot, we need her. Arian Fitzer, a freshman, obviously her first time. Then Kyla Pesky. She's a senior. She's waited her term, and I thought she really took advantage as well, making some nice plays. But again, those new girls, how fast can they incorporate on the varsity court?
Yeah, when you play the 7 o'clock game, it changes things in your heart, in your mind, in your feet. It just makes everything just amplify that much more. And I'll tell you, Kyla did a really nice job. And I love the way you said that. She's just waited her turn. She's played the opposite position since I can remember. Last year we had Aurora Dreyer, who, you know, really held down that position all year as a good, strong, blocking lefty. And Kyla came out. You know, I think she got that first kill on kind of a mishit ball, which made everybody kind of smile. But the ball hits the floor the same, and it scores the same. And then she just really played with a lot of confidence after that, which really is something we hope to see out of seniors. But sometimes I forget, and I'm glad you're here to remind me that they're still rookies under this 7 o'clock time frame, right? They don't have a lot of experience at this point. So I thought Kyla did a nice job. We got to keep working on lining up with hitters. Kyla had the Connors girl on the other side of the net, and we really did get into some fits with trying to figure out where to set up a block against her. So we got some work to do there, but I thought for a first match, varsity, Kyla did one heck of a job.
You know, and then, you know, the veterans, they've been there. Jency Gergen, Chloe Carr, Hilton Hines, Addie Knight, Allie Davis, really those girls, they've been through the war, some of them 2-3 years now. So bottom line is they have to lead. They have to help the more less experienced girls, and I think you got a good rotation going there.
Well, I think I've got I'm really lucky, and I think I said this in last weekend in our interview, that the combination of leadership, youth, and overall effort in our gym right now is really, really, it's good for a coach's heart, right? Because you see a lot of good things happening. And so our veterans, and I say that based on kids who have played a long time, they just keep their composure. You know, when we were in the locker room before the match, we talked about who was going to be responsible to maintain our energy level, who was going to bring that back up if we started to fade. How about effort? Who was going to show effort when our team needed somebody to show effort? And though that group that you just named were the kids who stood up and made sure they weren't going to let those types of things fall on the opening night of the season. So really good effort. Listen, I feel like we're a long ways from our ceiling right now, but we've got a good start here. We've got a battle this weekend on a long Huron invite, but this was a good start.
And I mentioned that Saturday, just to kind of wrap things up. Saturday, the Huron Invitational, not a tournament, an invitational. Everybody gets four best 2 out of 3 matches for Huron, 3 out of the 4 teams. It's the only time you're going to see them, including Class B Power Chester. I believe they're 2-time defending champions in that class. Then 2 West River teams, Douglas. I don't know if we've ever played them before, it seems like. Then Spearfish. Then Lincoln we'll see later, too. And Lincoln, you know, Lincoln has a lot back. But it's going to be 4 solid tests.
It's going to be 4 really solid tests. And the reality is, here's what I told the girls. I said, this particular season is not for the faint of heart, right? We want to get tested. And we want to look forward to those challenges. And so when we talked, icing their soreness and getting their nutrition right and getting their hydration right and getting ready for the next couple days of practice and getting ready for that Huron invite, we're not going to shy away. We're not going to shy away at all from a test. And we know that certainly Lincoln is going to test us twice this year. Chester, they've been good for a long time. No doubt we're going to get a test from them. Spearfish, program on the rise, full of a whole bunch of athletes. We're going to get a test from them. So I feel really good about figuring out what we're made of on Saturday and seeing how high we can go with this group. I think we got the right kids on the floor to do it.
Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, a 3-set sweep of T Area to start the season on Tuesday, back at home today. And it'll be a long day at the arena and at the middle school. Matches start at 9 o'clock in the morning. With some luck, might be finished up by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Starts at 9 o'clock this morning. Huron will play on one of the arena courts. They'll be on the arena south court the whole time. They'll play Douglas. Then they have a couple hours off. They'll play Chester, have a match off, play Lincoln, have another match off, then wrap up the day with a Spearfish. So long day of volleyball again. 2 courts on the arena, 1 court at the middle school gym for the annual Huron Volleyball Invitational. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
That wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Drew Strand. The Tigers led early in the second half, but Yankton comes out with three consecutive touchdowns to end the game and defeats the Tigers 41-24 in the season opener. And, Coach, a lot of things to talk about. In many ways, it was a typical first game of the season, although 18 penalties, not exactly typical. But overall, you know, the kids battled, had the lead early third quarter, but, boy, Yankton just had an answer whenever they needed it.
Yep, I mean, our guys came out, and I thought they did a fantastic job to start the game. They really came in with the right attitude and right effort to really compete through the end, and we just, you know, I thought we did a not-so-good of job on our penalties and just got to be able to hold ourselves more accountable on that end, and Yankton came out, and, you know, we knew they were going to play fast, and that's exactly what they did, and our guys kind of wore out as their first game, as we see it, and just got to continue to fight through those things and come through that adversity.
You know, that one key point for us, I felt, was in the second quarter, we fall down by two touchdowns, have a nice drive to pull within one touchdown with 20 seconds to go in the half. And then the last play of the first half, similar to Brookings 2 years ago with C.J. Gainey, they throw a pick and Landon able to take it, I think it was 65 yards. I went back and looked, 65 yards for the pick six. Got to like the momentum going into halftime.
Yep. I mean, you know, it really got those guys excited, really brought the momentum to our side, and we could go in and talk to the guys about the assignment, things that they needed to fix, but really gave our guys the right mindset of being able to compete, and it was nice to see those guys really kind of flip that switch last night and really own their team and own their choices and their decisions last night.
And did carry it over the second half. I think we got Yankton to a punt, then we drove down, got the field goal, 24-21. But then Yankton, you know, they just took advantage of things. I think they kind of read a couple of times. We blitzed, got some one-on-one matchups. At the end of the game, we were able to run clock, run the ball, and extend it. And just give Yankton credit. They felt we did wear down a little bit.
Yep, I mean, definitely they did a good job of attacking our spots that they thought they could attack, and our guys just got to step up and compete a little bit better. Offensively, I thought second half we just kind of petered out there. We had some second downs where we had, you know, a lot of second and zero plays where we'd either incomplete the pass or have a no-yard run. So we just got to find those plays within our second down playbook to really kind of gain some momentum back and really be able to drive the ball like we did in the first half, continuing on in the season.
Offensively, Anderson Porish, his first start at quarterback. And again, he's been a quarterback coming up through the system, but with Colt McNeil last year, we put him on the outside, and obviously he was pretty effective out there as well. And kind of got to remember that, you know, while he's been a quarterback, this is his real first significant varsity action. He had a few snaps last year, but that was just at the end of a game, and it looked like maybe he was reading the field a little better in the second half. First half, he had the three picks, including forcing it in there a couple of times. Hopefully learns from that now moving forward.
Yep, he's definitely going to be a leader on our offense, and I think those guys kind of see that we can rally around him, and he can really take us a long ways. And, you know, it's nice to see those guys put together drives early on, and then, you know, we just got to get him settled in and come up with some reads for him to be able to settle down and really have success there to give him, you know, kind of that edge. But once he got going and once he got feeling it, you know, he can run the ball and he does a good job and he's a hard runner, and we just got to help him out on some of those easier reads, maybe move him out of the pocket and kind of get him going. But he's going to be the guy that they rally around, and he's the true leader of our team. He's going to come in, he's going to put in the time and watch the film to make the corrections. So we just need our other guys to be held accountable, and he holds himself at a high standard, and he just got to continue to that progress as we go.
And one other thing, too, with Anderson, he showed last night last year's All-State punt selection was not a fluke.
Yep. I mean, you know, it's kind of nice having him to be able to flip the field. We just got to be able to do our things on special teams, you know, having that kick return for a touchdown. We can't have things like that happen. Those are just big momentum swings that we need to have versus other teams, and we just got to get our assignments right on those.
You know, and as far as the line goes, it was kind of good and bad. You know, it seemed like our scoring drive, our drives last night were either three and out or we scored. There wasn't a lot of, you know, we hold the ball 4 minutes, get three first downs, have to punt. It was either feast or famine. And a lot of that was with some of the mental mistakes. And it was Huron and Yankton both had a lot of pre-snap penalties. But you know, when the O-line was working together, when they had things set up, you know, we had those nice drives. You know, they had some things clicking.
Yep. I mean, I thought we were able to run the ball decently last night against them, even though they're bigger up front than we are, and we just got to continue that. You know, I think there's times in the second half where our guys either get lazy or just kind of one-tap, whether it's our skill guys blocking on the perimeter or our linemen inside, and we just got to hold ourselves and find that want to and go the whole time. And definitely have to get rid of the pre-snap penalties. We can't be having those, because when we get behind the sticks, that's when our drives kind of petered out. And, you know, those things we can fix, and those are just our mental discipline game that we got to work on.
Yeah, 18 penalties for us. Yeah, Yankton has 13 penalties, but yet they were the lesser of the two teams. Now, I'll just bring this up. Back when I played, it was a gasser for every penalty on Monday.
Yeah, not quite. We don't do that with these guys, but you know what? Maybe that's something off to bring in effect just to get them disciplined. You know, I know our guys do a good job, you know, of running around, and they get tired just because we got so many guys going both ways. And, you know, I thought even the senior group, they come in and they're playing a lot of both ways, like Mason Juergens, Riley, Winiger, Oakley, you know, just kind of leading that defense. Those guys come in, and Charlie, and they all play both ways, Landon Holst. And so they just got to rally around their guys, and they got to hold them guys accountable. And, you know, we just got to drive that. And those guys are going to drive the rest of the guys and be able to hold them accountable and get guys in the right spots and the right times.
Now, defensively, my goodness, Oakley Anderson, we had him 16 tackles, 4 assists, 20 total. I know you got different official stats. That's what we had, but at the end of the day, it was not a surprise.
Nope, not a surprise for us. I mean, he watches a lot of film. He understands what we're trying to do on defense, and he's the guy who kind of does his assignment, and he flies around to it fast. So just got to continue to have more guys around him to be able to help him out as well, and just kind of move him around and get him into the spaces to have success. He's definitely going to be the guy on the defense, just like Anderson is on the offense with those other guys. But, you know, there's other guys that are around him, like Mason, you know, that sits back there. We just got to have those younger guys really lock in and be disciplined enough to help those seniors around him and help Oakley out.
You know, and Landon Hulse, can't forget his pick six. Yeah, you know, he just got himself in good position. Here it is. I got a sideline. I just got a couple of guys to beat. And, well, it's good when that interception goes to a guy that's used to having the ball in his hands anyway.
Yep. I mean, watching that pick, once he picked it off, you know, everyone's eyes kind of go to the guy with the ball. But I was kind of looking out in front, and we had two seniors out in front of him with Charlie and Mason, and I knew once they went to the other one, I knew we had a chance, and they did a fantastic job, all other 10 guys on the field, to help Landon out and really get down the field and find a block and, you know, get a hat on a hat, so he was able to have that chance and success. You know, in years past, we kind of stop and kind of watch the game from on the field, and now this year, you know, these guys have understood really how to put it in until the whistle goes to the end and just continue to driving forward.
And finally, we'll mention Mr. Min, too. I don't think he's been on the field very much here because he is a full-time soccer player as well, but hit a 29-yard field goal, 3 for 3 on his extra points, and that's been kind of a pleasant early Christmas present so far.
Yep, you know, we've been doing it for a few years now where we find a soccer kid that wants to come over and kick for us, and, you know, when you can find one that's consistent, and he came right away, and he's been consistent, you know, on extra points, and that's nice to have, you know, especially when Yankton was missing a couple extra points, and we made ours to kind of give us the lead. And at one point in the game, he looked at all of us and he goes, "Anything to help my Huron Tigers." And those kids are definitely hardcore Huron Tiger people. And, you know, he's just going to keep having success and get more comfortable in there. So hopefully, you know, in opportunities, we can find drives and get to the other side of the field and be able to utilize him as putting points on the board for our team to continue to grow those leads.
So coming off that game, I guess probably the biggest concern, Elliot Hartman went out with an injury in the first half. Tests coming up today, and we'll hope for the best.
Yep, I mean, hope for the best. Figure out what we have to do, and hopefully, you know, it's not as serious as we think. But, you know, that's where other guys, you know, we've been rotating them in, and we got to be able to step up and fill those spots. Definitely going to be a hard hit for us if he's out, you know, for longer than, you know, a couple weeks. Hopefully he can just get healthy and we can get him back in that starting lineup with us on offense.
So next week it's Pierre coming here, and once again they have a D1 recruit, Terwilliger, that every college in the country is watching. How much do you take off their how much can you scout from last night? For those who don't know, and I didn't know for sure till this morning, they had a lengthy delay last night with Aberdeen out in Pierre, with must have been a pretty good thunderstorm go through. You got, well, of course, we played early too, but you got home and watched most of the game just because of our early start there, late start. It looks like they kind of played in a slog, and it was a low score at 9-6.
Yep. I mean, you're playing at Pier, so when it rains, the grass is slippery, the grass is wet. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to see kind of what they came out with. But, you know, a low-scoring game for them to end 6-9. So, you know, we'll be able to go through and kind of see who their guys are, which obviously, you know, you got to find a way to stop Terwilliger. And their quarterback likes to, you know, kind of sit back there and they run those draws and powers with their quarterback like they always had. So, got to find ways to contain him and then just kind of stop Terwilliger. You know, I think in the future, you know, everyone talks about Terwilliger and all these big guys that we have, but I think, you know, our team, and we got some of those guys like that, and I think you'll see some of our names pop up there for our Huron Tigers as well in the future and just continue to grow and do our assignments. You know, our guys this week, they kind of broke down on some of their assignment things, and we got to find reasons to do our assignments better for next week.
And wrap it up with this. You're still kind of learning yourself just on this Huron Tiger team. You know, 18 penalties, obviously, that's something that's got to be cleaned up. But, you know, when it's pre-snap like that, and I think we counted about half of the penalties at least were pre-snap, all of that's fixable. That's just mental. That's just concentration. That's just maybe first game yips even. Bottom line is, you know, that's something that should be easy to clean up.
Yep, hopefully, you know, that's just the easy fixes, and we can go on to the other things that'll be more important for us and really kind of have more success. But those are definitely the things that we got to kind of lock in on right away and get rid of and figure out how to do that. You know, whether it's the coaches on the sideline, you know, really coaching those guys and kind of taking them off when they have those mental mistakes, because in the grand schemes of things, sometimes the kids, you know, being young, they don't understand the importance of that 5 yards that they just gave them when we didn't even have a chance to run a play. So we just got to be a little more disciplined and give a little more effort, and we're right there. You know, like I told the guys last night, I'm not going to give them some hoorah speech, because, you know, they might have put up that many points and played with Yankton, but we expected to be there. We expected to give them a run for their money, and we expected the game to be a lot closer than what it ended as a team and as a group. And, you know, our kids showed us a glimpse of what they could be. And, you know, I don't think we've played our best football week one, and we just got to find a way to get that and play that continuously for 48 minutes next week.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers fall 41-24 to Yankton last night, season opener. Back at home again next Friday night, hosting the Pier Governors pregame around 6:30 with the kickoff 7 o'clock at Tiger Stadium over on Tiger. Up next, we have Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.